Chapter 1.
Why are we doing this again, Dad?
My daughter Mirella scoffed with the trademarked sass of a teenager.
I already know how it ends.
With me kicking your butt and declaring my victory, right?
Eric, my only son, taunted.
All hail the Dragon Prince!
Ugh.
Mirella rolled her light purple eyes.
Why do you keep calling yourself that? It's like you're kissing your own ass.
Kissing ass?
Lizzie, one of my younger twin daughters, cackled. Mirella, I huffed at my eldest. What did I tell you about using that sort of language around the twins?
Sorry.
The raven-haired teen crossed her arms over her chest and rolled her eyes again.
I just want to get this fight done with. I already know I will win.
What? No way. I've been out with Dad on 2 different adventures where I fought against a big ol' hopper and a mole bat and a wind dragon. What have you done, sis? Sit around and wait for the gods to give you visions of the future.
I survived out in the wilderness when I was an infant. Also, it's just common sense. You're going to get too cocky, and then once the fight turns in my favor, you're going to get so angry you'll lose your focus. When that happens, I take you down.
A smirk twisted up the corners of Eric's mouth, but the rest of his body language told a different story. His eyes narrowed as he focused in on his sister, and he tightened his grip on the wooden sparring sword in his hand.
I think we know who to pair up first,
Sella noted.
Eric looks like he wants to knock his sister into the next moon cycle.
Can I be your partner, Mama?
Amaria asked Sella, with softness in her blue eyes.
I don't want to hurt Lizzie.
Sella got down on one knee and placed her hand on her daughter's shoulder.
You won't hurt her. This is only a training exercise so you all can defend yourselves should anything ever go wrong.
Exactly.
The golden-scaled Zarya stomped the hilt of her spear into the sand for emphasis.
At worst, you will give your sister a few bruises, and perhaps a lump on her head or two. We did it to each other all the time when we were kids.
The other twin, Darya, explained.
I've lost count of the number of times Zarya gave me a black eye or that I accidentally left a knot on her head.
Just be gentle, I reminded my children. Remember, we're doing this to teach you how to fight. It's not like this is a matter of life and death.
Daddy?
Oshuna spoke up softly.
Who am I going to spar with? Did we bring baby Mir along?
No. I shook my head with a snort. I don't think Queen Nerissa would want our infant learning how to fight just yet, even if it is a very useful skill. You'll be with Sella, and Zarya will be watching over you both.
What about you, Daddy?
The pink-scaled preteen questioned.
Are you going to fight too?
I'm going to play referee for your 2 sisters. And Darya is going to do the same for your 2 older siblings.
I can hardly wait,
Darya snickered.
Watching those 2 bicker while they spar is going to take me back to the good old days of my youth when Zarya and I were always at each other's throats. You're still always at each other's throats.
Sella noted, but Darya shrugged.
Ah, that's what sisters do. What kind of a sister would I be if I always let Zarya's foolishness and subpar combat techniques slide by without pointing out their flaws? A more tolerable one.
Zarya grumbled as she walked over to us.
Now get over there and help those 2 before they start beating each other up with their wooden swords.
Darya shot her twin a muted grin, but then she turned and shuffled away to where Eric and Mirella were stationed. You take it easy on Sella, okay? I winked at Oshuna. She has no idea just how ferocious you are, but I do. So do the water dragons. Oshuna's orange eyes closed as she let out an adorable giggle and dragged her right foot across the sand.
Thanks, Daddy.
I'm ready for you, mighty warrior,
Sella announced as she stepped in front of Oshuna and gave her a bow. The next thing I knew, Sella drew a wooden sword of her own, twirled it around in her hand, and then took a fighting stance before the pink-scaled tween. Good lord, I really hoped I hadn't made a mistake by pairing Oshuna with one of our best warriors. If Sella decided to use even 20% of her actual skill, it'd be like watching the Hulk fighting an invalid. I wandered over to my twin girls, Lizzie and Amaria, and then looked back and forth between them. Both of the girls were now a few months old, and that translated into several years in the Dragonkin world. They appeared to be the equivalent of a 10-year-old child now, where they could walk and talk, but were still too young to not have a babysitter. Even though the two were identical with their green scales, blue eyes, and ruby-red hair, their expressions on their faces and their body language told me exactly who they were. Are you guys ready to begin?
Ready, Dad!
Lizzie proclaimed, as she held her wooden sword up high.
I was ready 10 minutes ago,
Amaria smirked, as she took a fighting stance. Yep, these were definitely Sela's children, all right. Now, if you want to be a great warrior like your mother, you're gonna have to practice. Like, you have to practice a lot.
We already practice,
Amaria reminded me.
Eric always makes us play out your adventures when he tells us stories, Daddy.
This is a little different. What I'm about to teach you right here isn't playing. This is real. These are all things that could help save your life if I'm ever not around when some mean creature shows up and tries to hurt you. Both of my daughter's eyes went wide, and Lizzie's bottom lip began to quiver.
Are you talking about those big, scaly green guys?
The redhead girl sniffled. Yes, but not just them, I said with a nod. There's also anything dangerous that might be out here on this island. Monsters, mean dragons, specters, anyone that would want to hurt us.
I don't know if I'm brave enough, Daddy.
Lizzie hung her head and pouted.
Eric always makes those monsters sound really, really scary.
Hey. I knelt down on the sandy beach, placed a hand on Lizzie's shoulder, and looked straight into her emerald eyes. That's why we're doing this. So that if they ever do try to come up and scare you, all you two will have to do is give them a little stab, and they'll leave you alone forever. Like this. I snatched Lizzie's wooden sword from her hand, spun it around, and then pretended to stab myself in the gut. I let out an overly dramatic gasp as I stumbled backward and flailed my arms like I was dying. And then I fell onto my knees and keeled over. My high school drama teacher would have been proud.
Daddy, come on, we know you're just playing.
Ah, you got me. I opened my eyes, smiled at my girls, and got back to my feet. Then I handed the sparring sword back to Lizzie, took a step back, and looked between the combatants. Are we ready to start?
Yes,
the twins both proclaimed. All right, then. I nodded. First off, I want to see what you guys can do without any guidance, so we're going to do a bit of free-form sparring. Ready? And... I held my hand above my head, silently counted to 3, and brought it down to signal the start of the fight. Then I watched as the two girls went at it with gusto. Amaria struck first with a horizontal slash at her sister's stomach, but Lizzie was light on her feet and dodged the attack with grace. She then twirled around like a ballerina and took a swipe at Amaria's leg. But Amaria jumped backward for a moment before she sprang forward and stabbed at Lizzie's gut. Lizzie gasped as she tried to move away, but it was no use. The wooden sword hit her in the stomach, and I let out a whistle to indicate the first point had been scored. Good going, Amaria, I congratulated my daughter. Now, keep going. I want to see how you both fight, and then I can show you how to best use your strengths to your advantages. The two girls took a step back, recomposed themselves, and then stood there watching each other like two tigers on the prowl. Finally, Lizzie leapt forward and repeated the same move her sister had just tried, but this time it didn't work. Amaria hopped to the right and then swung her sword awkwardly at Lizzie's right shoulder. Lizzie simply bent her body to the side just as it was about to land, and the wooden sword swished by without much fanfare. Then Lizzie swung her weapon in a horizontal pattern straight toward Amaria's ribs. This time, Amaria wasn't fast enough. The broad side of the wooden sword struck her in the side, and she let out a grunt of frustration.
That was no fair! I had you right there, Lizzie!
It doesn't matter what's fair, I explained to the frustrated twin. All that matters is her sword touched you, and you didn't touch her. When you're in the heat of the moment and those are real swords, what's fair goes straight out the window. Now, would you two like to see where you both went wrong? As I expected, these girls were very raw in terms of their fighting skills. Even though they'd grown up to be the equivalent of a 10 or 11-year-old in the recent months, they'd still lived a fairly sheltered life. None of them had ever been in a real fight before, and even though that made me happy as a father, it was only a matter of time before they would have to put their skills to the test in a real life or death situation. And after all the crazy, deadly stuff Eric had just been through on our last adventure, I didn't want any of my children to feel like they couldn't defend themselves.
Show us, Dad.
Lizzie nodded. Okay, I announced as I stepped in between the two kids. Let's start with what Amaria did. Can I have your sword, dear? Amaria handed me her faux weapon without a second's hesitation, and I took her place. I then proceeded to recreate the attacks my daughter made, all while Lizzie tried her best to replicate her previous moves. Eventually, we got to the point where I plunged my sword toward the girl's gut, but before my blow landed, I froze in place.
Oh, dang it!
Lizzie frowned.
I thought I had it this time!
Don't get frustrated. A very simple solution would have saved your skin. See, when you jump backward, you're not getting yourself out of the range of the attack. All your opponent has to do is take a step forward and you're done.
You should have jumped to the side!
Amaria narrated like a backseat driver. That doesn't always work either, I reminded my kids. Especially when you're in the heat of battle and surrounded by a bunch of other dangerous hazards. However, there's one technique that is always bound to work. This time, when I take a stab at you, I want you to bring up your sword and slam it into mine, okay?
Okay.
Lizzie trailed off, but then she resumed her defensive stance. I stepped forward and stabbed at my daughter's gut once more, and this time she was quick on her feet. Lizzie brought up her wooden sword, slammed it into mine, and knocked the weapon's trajectory off to the side. My blade passed by her right side harmlessly, and the girl shot me a confident smile. Ha! See? I grinned. I knew you had it in you. Now, for Amaria's little snafu.
It wasn't my fault! She cheated!
She didn't cheat. But it wouldn't matter even if she did. Let me show you how to get around this issue. I handed Amaria's sword back to her and then held out my palm to receive Lizzie's. Soon, the wooden weapon was back in my hand, and I prepared for the next lesson. Amaria lashed out at me the same way she attacked her sister, and just like her assault on Lizzie, this one came to a point where I sidestepped her downward swipe and then took a swing at her ribs.
No!
She gasped with wide eyes as she looked down at my blade. Now, do you have any ideas on how you could have avoided this? Amaria's eyes glanced upward at the pristine blue sky as she pondered the question. Then she looked me square in the eyes and gave her answer.
Should I have knocked away the strike too?
You couldn't, I warned. At least not in the position we were in. By the time you'd gotten your blade back around, the sword would have already been lodged into your side. To show you what you can do, however, I'll have to take us back a step or two. I reversed the sequence of events that led to this successful blow, until we were back at the point where she swung down at my shoulder. This time, as I stepped away from the attack, I froze myself in place.
You've got it, Daddy! Go in for the attack!
Normally that's what I would do. Now, think about this situation. Your sword is on the downward swing, headed toward the ground, and my blade is most likely coming at you from the side. Without missing a beat, Amaria lurched forward, wrapped her left arm around my neck, and then flipped around behind me. She then proceeded to stab me with the wooden sword from behind. Atta girl. I knew these two had a little bit of their mother in them.
You're dead, Dad!
Amaria cackled with glee. Only because you're such a ferocious warrior. Now, how about you two go back at it again? This time, try to think of it like you're playing a game. A game that requires an almost rhythm-like pattern. One where the winner is whoever stays one step ahead of the other person. I took a step back and watched as the two twins got to sparring once more. This time, they were more in tune with their own fighting styles. Lizzie was much more acrobatic and swifter on her toes, while Amaria was a full-on bruiser that struck with heavy, slow blows. After about 2 minutes of stalemate, Amaria was finally able to sweep out her sister's legs. She then hopped above Lizzie, held her sword back, and then stabbed it into the ground beside her sister's head.
I win,
Amaria said with a devilish grin.
This time,
Lizzie corrected.
You won this time.
As the two twins helped each other back up and got back into position, I looked around at the other two groups of combatants. Eric's face was red and full of frustration as he let loose strike after strike toward his older sister. However, Morella simply sidestepped the blows, parried them with a swift flick of her wrist, and then took a defensive stance. I watched with amusement as Morella then waggled her eyebrows at her brother, and it was a taunt that elicited a scowl and a frustrated huff from Eric. My son lashed out again, this time at his sister's neck, but Morella knocked the blow away, held out her sword so the point was pressed against her brother's neck, and grinned.
I told you how this was going to end,
Morella shrugged. Damn, maybe she really had seen this whole battle play out already in a vision. Or, more than likely, Aunt Mira had been training her on the side. Either way, Eric was flustered beyond belief. The Dragon Prince frowned, took a step away from Morella's blade, and shook his head furiously before he sucked in a deep breath. Then Eric attacked once more. I wanted to run over there and tell him he was being too overconfident and aggressive. Even if Morella hadn't seen the fight play out in a vision, it was amazingly easy to telegraph Eric's every move based on his body language and his repeated attacks. The boy absolutely refused to let up in his assault, and that was why he was losing to his sister. But this wasn't my fight to moderate. It was Daria's, and the golden-scaled dragonkin woman didn't seem to be too quick to interfere either. Instead, she stood there with a half-smile on her face, one hand on her wide hips, and the other grasped firmly around the handle of her spear. On the other side of me, Oshuna and Sella were having a battle for the ages. Oshuna giggled wildly as she lashed out at Sella in every direction possible, but nothing was working. Sella simply parried each and every one of the blows as if it were nothing. The seasoned warrior didn't even flinch or bat an eye as the young dragonkin assaulted her, but she did have a wide grin stretched across her thin lips.
My question is, do you get all this pent-up energy from Ben or your mother?
The mossy-scaled dragonkin woman chuckled.
Karine always acts timid on the outside, but I could easily see her stifling her anger all the time.
Oshuna's orange eyes narrowed, and the smile disappeared from her face as she became more focused on the task at hand. The dragonkin kid then started to unleash a series of
Hey-ya!
As she increased her pace. Sella just laughed at the feeble attempts and then continued to knock away Oshuna's blows. Finally, Zarya seemed to have enough.
Come on, Sella.
The golden-scaled dragonkin grumbled.
At least try to fight back a little.
Sella shot Zarya a glare that could peel paint, but then she obliged. The dragonkin warrior suddenly lunged forward, and Oshuna was forced to sidestep the attack. My daughter let out a loud gasp as she stumbled and fell face first onto the sandy beach with a thud. And then she slowly pulled herself back up and wildly swung her wooden weapon at Sella.
Calm down, little one,
Sella warned as she parried Oshuna's blows.
A great warrior must show great restraint and patience.
Restraint and patience? She obviously wasn't remembering what the twins were like when they were Oshuna's age. Speaking of the twins, I redirected my attention back to Lizzie and Amaria, who were still engaged in intense combat with one another. Well, maybe intense was the wrong word. The two girls were basically putting on an acrobatics display as they hopped, twirled, and swung at each other without even coming close to landing a blow. Honestly, it looked like something straight out of the Star Wars prequels. Girls? I chuckled as I tried to get my daughter's attention.
Hey, girls!
The two tweens stopped what they were doing and turned to me with exhausted ferocity in their eyes.
Come on, Dad!
Lizzie grumbled.
I had her on the ropes, isn't that what you say?
The only thing you two had your opponent on was a tango. You two could totally go on So You Think You Can Dance.
Is that another one of those shows from your universe?
Amaria asked as she cocked her head.
You say a lot about those.
Oh, I have not even begun to dig into my repertoire of pop culture references. I winked at my girls. You should both know it's my duty as a dad to make as many lame, corny jokes to you guys as possible.
That's what Eric told us.
Now look, I tried to get us back on track. It's not about looking cool or taunting your opponent or trying to outsmart them with flashy moves. You want to strike fast, strike hard, and strike with intent. Your one goal is to take out your opponent, whether that's by disarming them or even killing them. Now, try again, but this time make it count. Don't waste any energy whatsoever on an attack that doesn't twist the battle into your favor.
That sounds hard, Daddy.
Amaria grumbled. It is, I nodded. That's why we're practicing. Now, go. I took a step back as the two twins got into their fighting stances. Lizzie made the first attack, which was a swift strike down at her sister's leg. But she must have telegraphed the move, because Amaria sprang up into the air and threw out her blade straight at Lizzie's neck. Lizzie ducked down just as the wooden sword swung past her neck and then came back up with a diagonal swing. This time, Amaria blocked it with her sword, but she didn't have enough stability behind her stance. When Lizzie's practice sword hit her sister's, the blow caused Amaria to stumble to the right and try to regain her balance. And Lizzie seized the opportunity, threw up her practice sword, and held it right to her sister's throat.
Ivan!
Good job! That was much better. In fact, I dare even go a bit further and say it was an epic battle.
Do you hear that, Amaria? Daddy said our fight was epic. I did.
Amaria grumbled as she brushed a bit of sand off her shoulder.
I was right here when he said it.
Yep. These two definitely had Sela's DNA in them.
Hi, Ben!
I heard Zarya's voice call out from across the beach.
You might want to come and see this!
Coming!
I called out as I began to walk across the beach, with Lizzie and Amaria close on my heels. Darya, Morella, and Arik started to follow as well, but then Sela's voice commanded us to halt.
Keep the children away,
the mossy-scaled dragonkin warned. I turned to my kids and nodded for them to move back. You heard her? Hang back for a minute. Oshuna wobbled like an awkward infant over to our position, and then did a running jump onto Arik's leg.
Hey!
The dragon prince grumbled.
What did I tell you about hanging off me like a mossy fram?
Monkey, I corrected my son without looking back. The technical term for those things are green monkeys.
They're furry and have long arms,
my son snarked back.
They look like mossy farams to me.
As Darya and I got up closer, Zarya looked back at us, placed her index finger against her lips, and let out a soft shush. She then pointed off to the west, right along the pristine blue shoreline. There, a few small, rounded creatures emerged from the water, and even though they were a few hundred feet down the shoreline, I could still tell from here they had a bit of heft to them. Each of the creatures waddled out of the water with a gait similar to a walrus, where they propelled themselves forward by wiggling back and forth and then flapping the flippers attached to their bodies. However, these things moved way faster than any walrus I'd ever seen.
Puffy waddles,
Zarya grumbled as her eyes narrowed.
I thought it was about that time.
About what time? I questioned the warrior. And what the hell is a puffer waddle?
They are very deceptive creatures. They look innocent enough with their strange way of moving and their plump bodies, but they are very deadly. When they become angry or frightened, they grow larger and poisonous spines stand straight up on their backs.
Great. We were dealing with a herd of land-dwelling pufferfish.
Then there's their teeth and their frills,
Zarya added.
Those are both as sharp as a sea glass blade and can take your fingers off with a single bite. Zarya almost learned that the hard way when we were children. She wanted to keep one as a pet until she brought it back to our hut and tried to cuddle with it. It must have been spooked by something, because in the middle of the night I felt a bunch of spines stab into my body, and the next thing I remembered was waking up in the healer's hut. It was quite frightening. She was convulsing and kept saying she was seeing the ghosts of our dead ancestors.
So it's a hallucinogenic poison. Probably best if we don't let them touch us. But that shouldn't be a problem, right? They're all the way across the beach.
They just came out of a deep sleep. Puffer waddles slumber in the ocean for several sun cycles at a time, and then they come out to feast when they awaken.
Okay. I trailed off, but I wasn't really following. What does that have to do with anything?
The puffer waddles have a very keen sense of smell. Their hunger is so intense they can smell food from miles and miles away.
That's when it hit me. Our castle was not too far from here, and Holly was currently preparing a banquet to celebrate the 2-month birthday of my newest daughter, Mir. That meant the aroma of the cook's delicious food would be wafting out of the castle right about now, right as these deadly, hungry pufferfish were looking for their next meals. Shit. We gotta take those things out before they get to the castle, don't we?
That's what I would advise.
Sela nodded. I wish Tyrion were here. He could just burn them all from afar, and they wouldn't stand a chance.
We couldn't get back to the castle and alert them in time,
Zarya pointed out with a frown.
By the time we'd run to the castle, sounded the alarm, and then returned to find the puffer waddles, they'd already be deep into the jungle. And when that happens, they're going to be next to impossible to weed out.
Then we have to take them out now, I announced, and then turned back to my children. You guys stay back. We're going to go down and handle those oversized pufferfish.
I want to come with you, Dad.
Arik puffed out his chest in an attempt at bravery.
I've survived dragons and orcs, so these shouldn't be a problem.
You're staying back with your sisters. If any of those creatures get away from the main pack and try to get to you, they're going to need your protection. Eric opened his mouth to protest, but then quickly closed it. Then the Dragon Prince gave me a stern nod and reached for his sword. But his expression fell when his hand touched the hilt of his wooden weapon.
How am I going to kill anything with this?
You aren't, I explained, as I reached down to my belt. That's why I'm going to give you this. I pulled out my pink stone dagger from its sheath and then gently handed it over to the boy.
But this is yours.
It is, I nodded. But you need it way more than I do right now. My sword is all I'll need to take down these ugly little bastards. You've got the most important job of all, Eric. Protect your sisters at all costs, okay?
I won't let you down, Dad.
The Dragon Prince nodded with a gleam in his eyes. I know you won't. I patted him on the shoulder and then turned to my warrior women. Now, let's go make some fugu out of those ugly bastards.
Fugu?
Sela asked with a raised eyebrow. It's a delicacy that uses... You know what? I sighed as I tightened my grip on my sea-glass sword, and I turned back to the puffer wattles emerging from the water. We've got more important things to worry about.
What's the plan, Draco X?
Darya questioned.
They might be small, but there are too many of them to simply attack head-on.
First things first, we need to corral them away from the tree line. We need to keep each and every one of those little venomous bastards where we can see them and keep them confused.
How do we do that?
We catch their attention and then surround them. Then, once they're in a giant circle, each one of us needs to take a quadrant, and we cannot under any circumstances let the pufferwaddles get through.
We can even switch up the quadrants we are guarding. If we are in a constant state of movement, it will confuse the creatures and they will be much easier to kill.
Honestly, I'd rather spar with a Gagamore. At least fight with one of those is much more straightforward.
I'll take the north. Zarya, you take the west, Sela gets the east, and Darya can cut them off at the shoreline. Got it?
Sounds like a plan.
Darya nodded. I wasn't sure just how intelligent these things were, but as I got closer, I started to observe the answer was not very. The puffer waddles let loose a strange chorus of noises as they waddled up the beach. Noises that sounded similar to a gurgled honk. They moved as a quite literal pack, with their bodies all pressed up tight against each other. But on the outskirts of the herd, a few of the beasts had turned on each other. Their razor-sharp teeth were bared as they puffed up their bodies into the size of an exercise ball. And as they inflated, the venomous spines on their bodies rose up, while two large, sharp-looking frills shot outward from their neck. The frills were a sickly sea-green and tan color, and they circled the entire circumference of the pufferwaddle's throat. Honestly, the beasts reminded me of the spitting dinosaur from Jurassic Park, but in pufferfish form. Zarya and Darya were able to get into position first, since they could sneak around the back of the herd. The twins moved like crouched panthers across the sand, and then split off when they came to the back of the pack. Sela and I gave each other a cautious glance, took a deep breath, and then moved toward the deadly puffer waddles. But unlike our other two friends, Sela and I just ripped off the band-aid. I twirled my sword flashily as I ran around and cut off the fish creatures. At the same time, I let out a sharp, shrill whistle and stomped my feet into the ground as hard as I could. I wanted to get these things' attention any way possible, even if that meant I literally became a walking, talking, dancing monkey. My ploy worked like a charm, too, because soon I had dozens of gurgled voices pointed in my direction. The pufferwaddle's black eyes were narrowed as they stared me down, and their razor-sharp teeth were bared in anger. Their frills trembled in a show of dominance as their bodies puffed up and their honking turned into hissing. That's right, I taunted the dumb bastards. Look at me. Don't look at the three deadly warrior women closing in on you from all sides. Then the pufferwaddles began to scuttle in my direction with the intent to kill. As they approached, I noticed just how many deadly spines they had on their backs. The entirety of their upper bodies were covered with a dense forest of venomous trees, and anything that wasn't shielded by the spines was protected by the width of the creature's frills, or located in a spot that was hard to access from my current position. Ah, damn. Maybe a short sword wasn't the best choice of weapon against these things, after all. Still, I didn't need to worry. I was the Draco Rex, and if there was one thing I was sure about, it was that my story wouldn't come to an end at the hands of some oversized pufferfish Pokemon rejects. As the first wave of pufferwaddles came within striking distance, I took a horizontal swing with my sword. The blade slashed across the faces of two of the beasts and sent them stumbling backward as viscous silver liquid sprayed out from their new wounds. I couldn't savor the victory, however, because there were still three more of the little bastards coming my way. So I quickly turned around and stabbed my sword between the eyes of the next closest pufferwaddle. His body seemed to deflate as his mouth fell open like a trout, and he let out a pitiful gurgle. Then the beast fell down onto the sand, dead as a doornail. I spun around and lashed out at the remaining two pufferwaddles, but all my blade caught was the teeth of one of the creatures. The land fish clamped down on my sea glass blade, and then held on like a dog that refused to let go of its favorite chew toy. All right, fine. If this thing was going to be stubborn, then so was I. I grabbed the hilt of my sword with both hands, picked up the still-attached pufferwaddle, and then used it as a makeshift morning star. I slammed the creature's body straight into the next nearest pufferwaddle, and there was a sickly schluck as both their spines stabbed into each other's bodies. Almost instantly, the creature on my blade released its grip and then plopped onto the ground, still intertwined with the second pufferwaddle. Both of the creature's bodies began to convulse as frothy silver liquid oozed out from the corners of their mouths, and within seconds, their bodies went limp. Holy hell.
They aren't immune to their own toxins,
I called out to my friends.
Use that however you wish.
The first two pufferwaddles had now reoriented themselves and were charging straight toward me with their teeth bared, and this time, when I slashed at their faces, they were ready. The little spiny bastards flared their frills, turned their necks to the side, and blocked the incoming attack. The weapon hit the edge of their frill, and my sea glass blade bounced off just like I'd hit stone. While I was momentarily disoriented, the pufferwaddles came at me with their deadly chompers, and I sprang to the right just as one of the creature's jaws clamped shut, right where I was standing. Then I swung my sword back around and brought it down right on the fish's neck, just below where his frills were connected. My sword passed through his body without much effort, and then his severed head fell to the ground with a wet plop, followed by several sprays of silver liquid. Without missing a beat, I brought my blade around to the other pufferwaddle, sliced across his left eye, and then stabbed my sword through his brain while he was disoriented. The lifeless bodies of the two pufferwaddles fell to the ground, and I turned my attention back to the rest of the group. Both Daria and Zarya had taken out several of the oversized pufferfish. Bodies were scattered across the sand, and I watched as the twins stabbed their spearheads into the creatures without so much as a reaction. They were regarded as two of the best dragonkin warriors on this island, and for good reason. Daria and Zarya were ruthless killing machines who could take down an opponent without breaking a sweat. I was glad they were on our side. Meanwhile, Sella wasn't faring quite as well against the pufferwaddles. Sure, there were quite a few of them dead at her feet, but she was still twirling around hastily as the creatures swarmed her. Sella just had enough time to knock her attackers away with the blunt end of her spear before she stabbed the pointed end through some pufferfish's face. She then discarded the dead assailant's body before she spun around, held out her spear by the very bottom, and knocked all of the incoming pufferwaddles away.
Get back!
The mossy-scaled dragonkin hissed.
I think it's about time to switch spots,
I commanded my team.
Everybody, rotate to the left!
I dashed toward Sella with urgency, and then watched as the pufferwaddles followed. At the same time, Sella and the dragonkin twins shifted to their new positions, and began to make short work of the little toxic creatures before us. My plan seemed to work, since the pufferwaddles hissed and gurgled as they looked around with sheer panic in their eyes. They were too stupid to realize what was going on, and that gave us a huge advantage. I took aim at a nearby pufferwaddle, sliced off his head, and then kicked his decapitated body right on his bloody nub of a neck. The creature's corpse flew a few inches off the ground like a soccer ball, and proceeded to slam into several of his companions, And as the headless Pufferwaddle bounced through the crowd, I heard painful hisses arise in droves. I just launched a kickball into the crowd, a kickball covered from head to toe in deadly toxic spikes, and it looked like I'd just killed a bunch of the little hellions en masse. However, I couldn't celebrate quite yet. There were still a few dozen of the Pufferwaddles left, and they were now beyond pissed. Not only were we standing in between them and the only meal they'd had in months, but now we were also single-handedly driving their herd to extinction. Honestly, I'd be pretty pissed, too. Then again, I wasn't also trying to kill a bunch of innocent people just so I could fill my belly.
Ben!
Zarya cackled.
Incoming?
I looked over just as the golden-scaled warrior used her spear like a golf club. She slammed the blunt end into the face of the Pufferwaddle and sent him flying directly toward me. So I threw up my sword, ducked down, and sliced open the creature from below. Its guts plopped out onto the sand with a wet hiss, and blood tainted the golden grains crimson as its organs pulsated on the ground. I quickly turned back to the other charging Pufferwaddles and then made short work of them with my sword. I lopped off a few heads, I impaled a few of their brains. I even tossed a few of them back into the crowd like I'd done before. At the same time, my friends were helping to thin out their numbers. Sella had now hit her stride, and she danced around like a deadly ballerina, skewering the Pufferwaddles left and right as she twirled, hopped, and skipped across the landscape. The twins had somewhat abandoned their positions, though it didn't seem to have any negative effects on the situation. Zarya and Darya had their arms locked, and they flipped around the beach as they used each other's bodies for leverage. As they made their way across the crowd of Pufferwaddles, they struck several of the brain-dead beasts. None of us let up in our assault, and soon there were only a handful of the pufferfish left. Now that the numbers had been decreased, I didn't hesitate to jump right into the fray. I ran up to one of the beasts, shoved my sword underneath his body, and then flipped him onto his back. Since he was inflated and covered with spines, the Pufferwaddle just helplessly rocked back and forth on his back like an upside-down turtle. I put him out of his misery with a stab through the gut, and then I turned to face whoever else remained. Instead, my heart sank into my knees. There were two of the little bastards waddling straight toward Eric and my girls.
Eric!
I called out to my son.
Watch out!
The Dragon Prince's eyes were locked onto the approaching Pufferwaddles, and he was already in a defensive position with his dagger. Still, it was a dagger. Unless Eric knew exactly where to strike these things, he was in big trouble. I took off toward my children, most of whom now cowered in fear behind their brother. I closed the gap in a flash and then got to work. As I ran, I shoved the flat edge of my sword underneath the Pufferwaddle, and then I gave it a good heave and sent the little fucker onto his back. Eric and I must have been on the same wavelength, because the Dragon Prince jumped right over and began to stab the dagger into the creature's soft underbelly. However, this left him completely vulnerable to an attack from the second beast, and the fucker unleashed a gurgled hiss as it sprang up and opened its jaws, ready to tear my son to bits. Not on my watch, asshole. I gently tossed my sword up into the air, caught it horizontally above my head, and pulled it back like a javelin. Then I heaved my arm forward and released my grip on the weapon. The sea glass sword shot through the sky, stabbed the Pufferwaddle in mid-air, and then changed its momentum. The fish yelped as the blade pierced through its soft flesh and pinned it down to the ground. Gurgled honks escaped the creature's mouth as it writhed and tried to force its way free, but it was no use. All the while, Eric just stared at me with wide eyes and an even wider mouth.
How did you do that, Dad?
He gulped. Just lucky, I guess. I shrugged. Now, how about you finish it off? Eric gave me a nod, and then he dashed over to the struggling Pufferwaddle with his knife at the ready. He raised it above his head, brought it down between the creature's eyes, and then watched as the life left its body. Good job, son. I walked over to Eric, gave him a pat on the shoulder, and yanked the sword out of the Pufferwaddle's gut. Then my paternal instinct kicked in, and I rushed back to the rest of my children. Morella was stone-faced, as always, but I could see the other three were terrified. Lizzie and Amaria clung to each other like baby monkeys on their mother's back, and Oshuna's eyes were full of tears.
Daddy?
The littlest girl spoke up.
Did you take care of the mean fish?
Just about, I promised, as I glanced back over my shoulder. I think there are only a few left, and then the danger is gone. You guys have all been very, very brave today. Back on the battlefield, there were about only 5 pufferwaddles remaining, but the poor bastards must have realized they were doomed, because they tried to make their way back to the ocean. However, their efforts were completely in vain. Scylla, Darya, and Zarya picked off the defenseless fish one by one with their spears, and soon they were all slain.
Wow!
Lizzie gasped. See? I reassured my daughter. If you and Amaria keep training like this, someday you'll be able to do cool warrior stuff like Zarya and Darya do.
Really? You really think we could be as great as them?
Sure. I nodded with a smile. But only if you keep up on your training and behave for Isla's lessons. And if you listen to your mother.
Wow.
Both of the twins said in unison. I'm proud of you, Eric, I said as I turned back to my son. I knew you'd keep your sister safe.
You're the one who saved our asses, Dad.
Eric hung his head.
I didn't do anything, really.
You can say that again,
Morella snickered. Hey! I pointed at my eldest daughter and then addressed Eric again. I may have knocked them down, but you're the one who delivered the killing blow. If I was keeping score, you'd currently have 2 notches on your belt.
Yeah, Morella.
Eric stuck his tongue out at his sister.
I didn't see your powers doing much good here. Why didn't you see those monsters coming, huh?
I've told you 1,000,000 times!
Morella shrugged.
I don't choose what I get to see. The gods just bless me with the visions of what they want me to see.
Well, they could have blessed you with a bit more of a warning.
The Dragon Prince grumbled.
I think that's the last of them.
Scylla's voice announced as she and the twins approached.
Somehow, we killed each and every pufferwaddle and none of us were stung. I'm just glad they were so unintelligent,
Darya admitted.
If they'd been smart, that fight would have gone a whole lot differently. Maybe it would have been more challenging. It felt like I was beating up on a bunch of infants. Mommy! Mommy!
Amaria jumped up and down as she ran up to Scylla.
Guess what Daddy just said? He said that if Lizzie and I keep training, we can be just like Zarya and Darya, the greatest warriors on the island.
Is that so?
Scylla glanced up at me with a raised eyebrow and a smirk.
He didn't say you could be like your mother?
Nah.
The little girl waved her hand.
We are twins, so we want to be like them.
Aww.
Darya smiled at the little ones.
Oh, how sweet. Sweet? I don't know how sweet it is to have 2 daughters who worship anyone and anything but their own mother.
It'll get worse, I promised the mossy-scaled dragonkin. Trust me, once they become actual teenagers, you'll be lucky if you can say 2 words to them without getting the dreaded eye roll. Right, Morella? I looked over at my daughter, and the raven-haired girl made my point for me by rolling her eyes.
Oh, you should cherish it,
Darya muttered.
After all of our men were killed by the orcs, you, of all people, should know what a blessing it is to have a young one.
Scylla looked Darya in the eyes, and the smile instantly vanished from her face.
I am sorry.
The dragonkin warrior hung her head.
I should have known better than to make those sorts of comments. I have only been blessed with these 2 beautiful girls for a few months, and already I'm taking them for granted.
It's all right,
Darya reassured Scylla.
The Draco Rex is only 1 man. Though he intends to help us repopulate our species, he can only do so selectively.
What are you talking about? There's nothing selective about how I choose my partners. It's just kind of the luck of the draw.
Ugh.
Eric groaned as he threw up his hands.
I really don't want to be a part of this conversation.
Ugh. Ugh, neither do I.
Morella gagged.
And I'm sure these little ones don't either.
I agree.
Scylla noted.
Come, little ones, I take you back to the castle. Perhaps Ali has finished the preparations for your little sister's feast.
Send a few people back to the beach, too, I'm not exactly sure what we can do with them yet, but surely if we harvest the spines off some of these pufferwaddles, they could be useful.
Right away, Ben.
Sela nodded before she held out her hands. Lizzie and Amaria each took one of their mother's hands, and then Eric scooped up Oshuna into his arms. The little girl cackled with glee as her brother set her atop his shoulders, and then Sela and my children were off. Now it was just me and the Dragonkin twins.
So, Draco Rex,
Daria began, but I cut her off quickly. For the millionth time, call me Ben.
Okay, Ben.
The golden-scaled warrior huffed.
How do you pick your mates, then?
Yes,
Zarya added.
It is quite obvious why you chose Nerissa, Ainsley, and Darwin. They are all the leaders of their people, and the Draco Rex deserves to merge his bloodline with the other royalty. But what about the rest? Talise, Gemma, Elzara, Sela? They all seem to be random choices. And then there's Mira,
Daria reminded her sister.
The Draco Rex spends more time with Mira than about any other person on this island, yet she is still not pregnant. There must be a pattern of some sort, right?
There's not. I shook my head. Mira just doesn't want to get pregnant until our adventures are over. She loves the ocean and exploring these different islands. And the thought of being away from that for even a few months is unbearable to her. So she'll probably be the last one I impregnate.
What about the rest of us, then?
Daria almost begged.
Is there a list you keep of who is to be impregnated and in what order?
Nope. It's all completely random. Honestly, it sort of just happens when two of us are alone and get caught up in the moment.
So, you're telling me that if I ask you right here and now, you'd consider?
Of course I would, I grinned. Why on earth would I ever say no to a beautiful creature like yourself or your sister? We just really haven't had the chance to be alone very often.
Well...
Daria let out a giggle as she looked down.
We're alone now.
My pants grew tighter as I thought about the warrior's words.
That's right,
her twin sister added.
We are all alone. No enemies, no queen, no children. Nothing but the two of us. And you.
Suddenly, I felt my erection grow rapidly. And it pressed against my pants so tightly I thought I might tear straight through them. I wasn't sure where exactly this conversation was going, though I had a hunch. And if my hunch was right, I was in for the time of my life.